How do we respond to unrest and protest in America when we can't agree on what's happening? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood.
Marketplace Tech is supported by Carbonite. Working from home is essential, but it also increases the risk of data loss. Carbonite protects computer files from data loss and other online threats. Carbonite.com.
Depending on where people got their information about protests around the country this weekend, they may have completely different ideas about what happened. The protests were sparked by the alleged police murder of a black man in Minneapolis. Did they, quote, turn violent, as many newspaper headlines said? Did police shoot and kick and tear gas peaceful protesters and journalists, which was going viral on some parts of social media? Or did criminals and looters indiscriminately break windows and damage businesses, which was on TV and other parts of Twitter? More importantly, if no one gets the same story, how can we respond to what's happening? Zeynep Tufekci studies the social impacts of technology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
It's much harder for us to come together in policy and in politics, even though if you look at the underlying sentiments in the American people, they're not that far apart. There is broad support, for example, for police reform.
You've written about what you term the power and the fragility of networked protest. I mean, is this the fragility part? Like, do we really need our information to be consistent at some point?
That is definitely the fragility part in some sense. And right now, it's really hard to know how to exactly use social media to get that broader sense. Now, I can spend a lot of time and sort of curate my sources, and I have my own ideas of what might be going in, and I'm a protest researcher. But if you're just kind of like a normal person, and you just sort of are coming in and out of the news cycle, you just might have a very different picture depending on what's algorithmically amplified by a social media company, or depending on if you've chosen some social media sites or groups that are more sympathetic to your point of view, and then you'll just get more of it, perhaps. And then you have no idea what to sort of do about the conversation that needs to take place because we're not even sharing the narrative reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, is the power part, though, that, you know, despite the divergence and the splintering, is it worth it if it means that previously marginalized narratives at least have some platform?
Without social media, without people taking out their phone and recording those interactions, maybe we would have never heard of these. It's not necessarily that, you know, the way police treat black people has changed. It's just more people know of this now than before. Partially because of social media, because of smartphones. So that's clearly part of the picture. But even though it's been so many years since the Black Lives Matter movement has started, the reforms that you would expect to have happened, they haven't happened. That's the fragility part. It is harder sometimes to get a common narrative around a question so that we can have these national discussions. But it is also easier to try to break out of what otherwise would have been a single gatekeeper.
Zeynep Tufekci is the author of Twitter and Tear Gas, The Power and Fragility of Networked Protest. And now for some related links. At our website, marketplacetech.org, we've got a link to a poll from just this weekend conducted by YouGov and Yahoo News, which, to Zeynep's point, shows a majority of people responding that they believe that white people get better treatment by police than people of color, that race was a major factor in the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and that police are not usually held accountable for misconduct. Of course, these protests also come as President Trump has launched his own attacks on social media. On Friday, Twitter obscured one of his tweets that it said was glorifying violence by saying that looters could be shot by the military. Facebook said it wouldn't take any action about the tweet, which was cross-posted to Facebook, although that decision has apparently caused some real dissent inside the company. In posts that were leaked to The Verge, one employee wrote that the contortions that the company was using to explain its neutral stance were, quote, incredibly hard to stomach. For what it's worth, that same YouGov poll, 47% said they approve of Twitter flagging Trump's tweet, 37% did not, 15% were not sure. Also over the weekend, the well-known hacker group known as Anonymous apparently resurfaced on Saturday after about 3 years of silence to say that it would be targeting the Minneapolis Police Department and the officers who were involved in the killing of George Floyd. The group released a video on YouTube threatening to, quote, expose the many crimes of the Minneapolis police. The department's website was offline for a time on Saturday. We'll have more on that group and protest hacking as the week goes on. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.